It is the 13th of January. We have six games to go through. Looks as though the games in LA will be going ahead at this stage. We'll have a little bit of an update, some streaming targets. Plenty to start out week 13, 12, depends what format you're using. First day of the week. This is the Monday pregame show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. Please go and subscribe to our channel and download us and do all of that stuff. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. And let's start with Old Man Squad and Dan Vesperus, because he is in LA, as I'm sure you are all aware, and he's been providing updates. I use him as one of my sources, and it does appear as though the games in LA will go ahead. He said the fires are generally under control. I don't know if fires are ever under control until they're put out, but it's all trending towards maybe coming to an end, the actual fires. So it does look as though the two LA games will go ahead tonight. So we will break them down under the assumption that they are playing. Of course, that could change. They don't start until later. Where are we? Yeah, so they are late games. So we've got, 12, 2:30, like 7 hours. So a lot can change in 7 hours, but fingers crossed they do go ahead and everything starts to pick up there. Let's get into the games. All right, first game, Minnesota at Washington. Surely Washington can be better than they were last night. For the Timberwolves, relatively healthy at this point. Look, Rudy Gobert, I put him in the show title. He's just been really frustrating. If there was any night for him to breakout, surely this is it, against Alex Saar, Jonas Valanciunas, a team that has zero to play for. I mean, this has to be it. If it's not tonight, then I don't know what. I would say the same about Mike Conley, but I don't think he has to do a lot or wants to do a lot. So, I wouldn't be confident with him. Jaden McDaniels, you could stream him in. He was good in that last game, and again, favorable matchup. So could be another good one. Nikhil Alexander-Walker has been okay, probably almost ahead of Conley in the rotation, but not doing a lot. He doesn't have a particularly good fantasy game. So it would be McDaniels, Conley, and Alexander Walker to a lesser extent, but there's probably more options or better options on some of these other teams, one of which is the Washington Wizards. Look, based on what we've seen, it's hard to get a read on the rotation here. Jordan Poole will play. He's not on the injury report, so that's good. That could change. Remember, apparently teams and players can get injured walking to the game or doing whatever they do, so keep an eye there because they are on the second night of a back-to-back. Carrington, again, another player with not a particularly fantasy-friendly game, but he's playing minutes. If you need assists, give him a look. Corey Kispert has been shooting the ball well. Points and threes, he might be your guy tonight. Keyshawn George, defensive stats. And Valanciunas, he's probably still rostered in most leagues, to be fair. But if he was dropped and you just need some big man numbers to open up your week, he is an option. Jared Butler, who had been playing well, did not play well yesterday. Who knows? He is really just a flyer for tonight. Detroit at New York. The Pistons are, again, relatively healthy. Jaden Ivey, of course, is done for the year. Tim Hardaway has been playing better since that injury. So if we're looking for points and threes, both he and Malik Beasley are options. Asar Thompson is starting. He's playing well in the first half and then just sort of cools off. So if you need defense, if you need some rebounds, he's probably worth a look. He is probably added in most leagues, but the minutes cap remains. I feel like this is just going to stick around. I'm not sure of the exact reasoning, but until we see him play 26, 27 minutes, I think we can sort of safely assume that he will be in the low 20s. Jalen Duren has been playing better, which means that Isaiah Stewart is not really someone we need to target. Along with Fontecchio, Sasa, these guys are in the rotation, but they're not doing enough. For the Knicks, Jalen Brunson is questionable, but this is with a shoulder injury, not the calf. So that's good, I guess. It doesn't mean the calf isn't still an issue. It just means the shoulder is more of an issue. So, I don't know, second night of a back-to-back, I guess there's a chance he doesn't play this one. If that's the case, we look at McBride, we look at Campaign, we look at Landry Shamet. Payne had a good go last night. He had 18 points. I still think McBride is probably the preference. All three are worth a bit of a look, but even with an injury to Brunson, none of them are super appealing. OG Anunoby was terrible. Mikal Bridges has been terrible. Maybe they can turn things around. I really hope they can. And that's probably me being selfish, having OG in a number of teams. I'd love to see him do some more stuff and Josh Hart maybe to have a bit of a cool off, because I don't have Josh Hart anywhere. And Kat should play, still dealing with the knee issue, but has looked perfectly fine. So he will pop up again on the injury report. I'm pretty sure of that. Golden State at Toronto. Steph Curry will return to the lineup. Draymond Green is questionable. Andrew Wiggins also returns. Still no Kuminga, still no Payton, still no Podziemski. So Schroeder, there's probably enough there for him to be rostered at the moment. It's very unexciting, but he's starting, he's playing minutes. Buddy Hield has looked better if you need threes. Lindy Waters has been playing, hasn't done much. Not really interested in him or Kyle Anderson or Moses Moody. In saying that, they're against the Raptors, which on paper should be an easy win. So maybe we do get some garbage time minutes from those guys, but you can't really stream based on that assumption. For the Raptors, Emmanuel Quickley is questionable again. This time it's with a hip, I think. Yeah, hip injury. I don't know. We just have to wait. I have no idea if this is a thing or it's just Toronto trying to join in the tanking sweepstakes with Utah and Brooklyn and Washington and Portland. It very much could be. But, yeah, not much you can do with Quickley. If he plays good, if he doesn't, we look at Jamal Shedd. We look at Ochai Agbaji. As the two winners, I suppose, RJ Barrett, Scotty Barnes will handle the ball a bit more. Grady Dick will get to do a bit more. So it's really just a spreading the wealth. If Quickley doesn't play, we've had a really big sample size of what this looks like. So we know it doesn't really help Chris Boucher all too much. He has been decent. I'm still not sold that he's someone we need to add. I guess the difference here is that Bruce Brown is back. He was not playing when Emmanuel Quickley was out initially. And Brown was actually okay in that last game. So deeper leagues, maybe you want to, maybe they do push him to 25 minutes if Quickley is out. But I think Shedd is probably the one. He's sort of emerged as that backup point guard. So it would make sense from a team perspective to actually give him the ball, not Bruce Brown. Memphis at Houston. Ja Morant is questionable with an illness. It's just one thing after another for him, isn't it? Much like Joel Embiid. Look, if Morant doesn't play, Luke Kennard, Scottie Pippen would obviously become a must add. Jake LaRavia plays a little bit more, but Pippen would be the preference, followed by Kennard. Jalen Wells would do a little bit more, would just sort of solidify him as a streamer, I think. And then the center rotation, Zach Edey, Brandon Clark, and Jay Huff. Jay Huff is on the injury report, but he is probable. All three are in the rotation. Edey will continue to start, but they're really just making the call on the fly. If he's just getting cooked by Sengun, then they could bring on either Clark or Huff. The backup has been Steven Adams. He's playing over Jock Landale. So with Adams out there as a big body, maybe they sort of flip things a little bit here and go with a bit of Brandon Clark with the closing starting lineup and switch Edey to the bench. Jay Huff could also, I guess he's got a bit more height. I don't know. It's hard to get a read, as I've said, on this center rotation. I think Edey is a borderline hold, and then Clark is a streamer at best at this point. For the Rockets, no Jabari Smith. We will assume no Tari Eason. So all five starters are must-roster players. Cam Whitmore would be if he was playing significant minutes, but he just isn't. So he can be streamed in for points. He had 3 steals in that last game as well. So I'm not saying we're going to get that again, but you never know. Jay Sean Tate is in the rotation. I'm not rostering him, or Aaron Holiday. Steven Adams has been an interesting source of rebounds on a fairly shallow slate. Maybe you can give him a look. Okay, Miami at LA. So the first of the LA games tonight, which, as I said, looks as though they're going ahead. I will check that there's been no updates or anything like that. Nope, no new news. So let's have a look at the Miami Heat. Now, I did just tweet out before this my sit start article for this week. Came out on RotoWire and Yahoo, or it's for someone, CBS or something. Jaime Jaquez and Nikola Jovic are both in that article. I think both should be rostered at the moment. They're playing well. I'd have both of them over Terry Rozier and over Hayward Highsmith. I know Highsmith had 5 steals in that last game, but generally speaking, he hasn't been as good as Jaquez or Jovic. So I think we're adding both of those players. Bam Adebayo has just been added to the injury report. Do we dare go and add Khalil Ware? Would they do it? I mean, they need height against Zubats. He's a fairly standard sort of old school back to the basket center. Khalil Ware would make the most sense there. Are they confident enough? Do they have enough faith in him to start? So if Adebayo is ruled out, the issue here obviously is that they don't play till later. So if you're in Yahoo, that's okay. As I've figured out, you can add players after games have started. You cannot on Fantrax. So if your league allows it, Khalil Ware might be someone to just stream in. I will definitely be keeping an eye on him. And if Adebayo is ruled out, I don't know. I'd like to see Khalil Ware play 25 minutes, 26 minutes, and just see what he can do. For the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, he was away from the team due to personal reasons, but then they missed a game or postponed a game. So he is back, which will mean Chris Dunn, Derek Jones, Kevin Porter, they can all be dropped. Maybe Dunn can be streamed if you need steals tonight. We still don't have a good read on Norm Powell's production or what he's going to do with a healthy lineup. There's only been a couple of games. As I said, I think he will be okay. Initial signs are that he will be okay, but let's see what happens tonight. And the final game of the night, the Spurs take on the Lakers. Again, assuming this game will go ahead, Jeremy Sochan is questionable. If he is out, Keldon Johnson is someone we look at adding. Steph Castle maybe they may start him. I'm just looking at the size. Yeah, look, they could go with Steph Castle. They could go with Julian Champagne. A few different ways they could go here. We're holding Sohan. We're not doing anything with him. But if he is out, Castle, Keldon Johnson, Champagne to a lesser degree are the guys we want to look at there. For the Lakers, LeBron, AD, both probable. I'd be more surprised if they weren't. We will assume they will play. Max Christie, I've seen him dropped in a couple of leagues due to the postponed games, so I would go and add him if he's available. I wouldn't add Rui Hachimura. Dorian Finney-Smith has looked better, more comfortable. Probably not playing quite enough yet to be rostered. Could be streamed tonight, but he really needs to hit 30 minutes, I think, to be considered as someone who could have sustainable value at the moment. It's just very hit or miss. And that's all the games. So let's have a look at some questions very quickly. Okay, what level of confidence do I have that Collins returns from personal injury management this week? Because your alternative is taking 10 minutes a game of DeAndre Jordan. Look, my confidence is not high, given what we've seen from Utah recently and more importantly, yesterday. Yeah, but 10 minutes of DeAndre Jordan is not great. I'd take the risk on Collins. If that's your alternative, I'd go with Collins and hope that maybe you get two games out of him. I will go to the second part of Joseph Kim's question. Would I take Sohan over Draymond or Gordon? Yeah, I think we had a question like this yesterday, didn't we? I think Sohan would be my preference there. And then it's probably Draymond and Gordon. I think Gordon is going to be on a pretty heavy minutes limit off the bench for at least the next 2-3 weeks and could be longer. The All-Star break is, 4 weeks away now? So it wouldn't be surprised if he is just coming off the bench until the All-Star break. So, yeah, I think I'd go Sohan, Draymond, then Gordon. Is Pritchard a drop in a 10-team league? He's pretty close. If it's a standard kind of a league, so 12, 13 roster spots, 130 players, so probably anyone sort of outside the top. I'd say 80 is a drop, which and I think he will be that. So, yes, I think you could consider dropping him. I think streaming might be more valuable in a 10-team league. Question from Tim. Do I have any Cam Thomas stakes? I do. I have a lot of Cam Thomas stakes. Am I holding? Yeah, look, I am. I can tell you exactly how many leagues I have him in. No, I don't want his player news. I want his rostership. All right, let's have a look. Come on, Basketball Monster, it's not hard. So I have him in 3 leagues. Pretty sure I've still got him in. Or did I? No, actually, no, I had him in 3 leagues. I dropped him in 1. But the league that I dropped him in, we our season ends in 3 weeks and we do a redraft and split into 2 leagues. So I figured that, look, he might come back before that league splits, but even if he does, he's going to be limited, not play back-to-backs, maybe 20 minutes. So I do have him in 2 other leagues. I'm holding him in IR spots, I think. What League of Champions and War Games? Yeah, so I've got him in the IR spot in both of those leagues. I am concerned here, the way that Brooklyn are trending. I think Cam Thomas would really love to get back out there because he has a lot to prove. Potentially they did bring him back too soon. I talk about that. I'm not going to go down that path. But are you wrong to fear that they will be extra cautious? No, you're not. I think I said from the output or from the outset of this recurrence that it could be after the All-Star break before we get him back, which is what, mid-February, 18th, 19th of February, something like that. So more than, we could still have more than a month until he is back. How much stock am I putting in recent rumours of Nick Richards? You believe what you want to believe. Until I see it come from Shams or one of those reputable sources, it's all sort of rumours. That's exactly what it is. Is Richards worth a speculative ad, I assume, is the question here. I don't think so. I don't think you can be adding yet based on what we've heard. So probably not at this point. Bam, questionable. We're adding Jovic. Well, I think Jovic should be rostered anyway. But yes, if he's available, go and add Jovic. Okay, so Chad, they plan on... Yeah, so Adebayo will warm up. So it will be a game time decision. So we might not know till 10 p.m. Eastern. Was trading Mark Williams for Emmanuel Quickley any concern this hip is more serious or just something he manages? Yeah, I have no idea. This the first I saw of this injury. There's always a concern with Toronto and these teams. So, yeah, there's a little bit of a concern here, but there's also concern with Mark Williams because he plays for Charlotte. So I think they probably balance out. Would I stream Christy, Hardaway or Dick tonight? Probably depends a little bit on Quickley. If Quickley is out, then maybe it's Grady Dick. Max Christie is probably the safest because he's starting, he's playing big minutes, and he gets you a little bit of defensive stuff. Hardaway has been playing really well, but he was terrible to start the season. He is just points and threes, as is Grady Dick. So I think Christie is probably the safest, just because we know exactly what we're going to get from him minutes-wise. And production-wise, he's pretty consistent in that regard as well. Dick and Hardaway are pretty close. I think if Quickley is out, maybe you go Grady Dick. But Hardaway has been playing well, so he would also be in that discussion. Immediately questionable, a good nickname for Emmanuel Quickley. Yes, Shining Knight, very good. He's been questionable all year, hasn't he, basically? Do I think Jonathan Isaac is going to be more productive than Wendell Carter with Goga's injury? So if Goga is out, I'm assuming we're sort of hypothetically speaking here. Yes, I do. So, yes, answer to that question, I would add Isaac over Wendell Carter. Are we dropping Clowney in a 10-team 9 cat? Oh, yesterday was rough, I know. But the minute he played 32 minutes. So to me, when you're playing that badly and you still play 32 minutes, it's a pretty good indication that your role is set, where a lot of these Nets guys' role is not set. The minutes go up and down. So I'd be hesitant to drop him, but in a 10-teamer, a little bit like the Peyton Pritchard question, I think his upside is somewhat limited. So I'm not totally against it. On the bright side, with Quickley always out, I won't have to drop anyone to activate Jalen Johnson when he returns, if he returns. No, you will not. Jonathan Dvorak. Do I think Nembhard is worth an ad if it eliminates your streaming spot? If Halliburton is out, yes, I do. I think Nembhard could be pretty good if Halliburton misses time here, which common sense says he would miss a week or two at least, but we just don't know. Nembhard's been pretty borderline even with Halliburton there. So with him out, with their hesitation on pushing TJ McConnell beyond 22 to 24 minutes, I think Nembhard will play a lot, will have these hands on the ball a lot. Oh, so Chad disagrees on Nick Richards. I think if you have space, you can add now because you have Mark Williams. Yeah, look, that's fair too. If you can sort of treat him as an active stash and getting 15 minutes from him is enough, then by all means, go ahead. There is that Mark Williams risk, of course. Shutdown, injury, whatever they want to call it. So yeah, I think you could do it. I personally wouldn't, but absolutely, it's an option. What's the category where stats are easy to find on the waivers? Look, typically it's threes and has been for years. Points are tough. Assists are usually pretty tough. I haven't dug into it too much. The low volume categories, so steals, blocks, are often easy to find but very sporadic in terms of consistency and whether, like I said yesterday, I picked up Jose Alvarado. I've added Lonzo Ball. For steals, and yesterday I got none, where I think Alvarado in the previous six games was averaging two steals or something. So they are easy to find, but you also need a little bit of luck with steals. So I think threes are probably the easiest just because of the way the game is played now. Everyone is jacking up threes. So chances of hitting on someone is a little bit higher. Would I target Hart or Reeves in a points league? Who do I prefer? I prefer Reeves, but that's probably just because I don't have Hart anywhere. And yes, Reeves should be the Lakers' second playmaker down the stretch. Look, I think you could argue he'll be their first playmaker. With the way the assists have trended. I mean, LeBron will always be the alpha there, but I think they are actively trying to get the ball in Reeves' hands a little bit more. They obviously got rid of D'Angelo Russell and didn't really bring back a point guard. We don't know what they're going to do before the trade deadline. There's no indication that they're going to add another point guard, but you never know. I think Hart probably has slightly more upside in a points league because of the rebounds, and he's been scoring the ball well. And if there's an injury to OG or Bridges or any of those guys, Hart will do a bit more. But Reeves is probably a little bit safer just in terms of health because we know the Knicks play so many minutes that Hart could get injured at any moment. But we could say the same about Reeves. And do I think offering Hartenstein for either one of those guys is reasonable? I think it's reasonable. Yep. I think that's pretty fair. Okay. There's a growing portion of Pacers calling for them to trade Halliburton for Butler and hand the keys to Nembhard. Yeah, that's interesting. It'd be a huge mistake if they did it, but you never know in the NBA. Would I drop Suggs in a 10-team points league? Picked up Dante Bilal to fill streaming spots. Would prefer not to drop Suggs. Look, that playoff buy, yeah. I'm not too concerned whether you get a buy in the first round. If you're the best team, you're the best team. I know there are some issues at that point of the season with rest and that sort of thing, so it is nice to just have a path through the second round. Would I drop Suggs? Look, I think you could. There's no word on this injury, really. And when he does come back, obviously Paolo is there now, but we have no KCP. We have potentially no Goga. So, yeah, maybe I'd be okay with that. I'd personally try and hold him until we at least get some sort of a timeline. We don't have anything yet. For some of the others in the chat, I have a few learnings this season. It is your first season in head-to-head, yes. Trust your draft. Don't overreact. Recognize your team comparison and punt. Yep, all fair. Trusting your draft is a big one in overreacting. It happens early in the season a lot, not so much now, but as I tweeted out last week or something, people do still overreact and tended to overreact to these postponed games and went and dropped players. Like I said, Max Christie was dropped and I wouldn't have been dropping him anywhere. Yeah, always have a look at your opposition. First thing I do when I'm up against someone is I look at the standings and I look at each category and where I sit and where they sit, because that's the easiest way to get an initial gut feel on, okay, I'm good in these categories, I need to stream these categories or whatever. It's obviously not always accurate, because you might be very good in assists and you might have Trey Young out for 2 weeks or something. So yeah, a little bit of risk, but some good tips there. Yeah, waiver-wise, so a question that Shining Knight has is keeping a lower-ranked but consistent player versus having a waiver slot. It's an interesting concept to get your head around, because it's, yeah, like Tyus Jones, you go, yeah, look, he's pretty good. He's playing minutes. He gets me assists, so I should just hold him. So it really does come down to your waiver wire and how deep it is and how active other teams are. Because if you can just stream and get six games of someone else or of two or three players compared to three games of Tyus Jones, then the streaming makes sense. Made mistakes, dropped CP3 and Tyus early. Tyus, I don't know if that's a mistake. CP3 probably. And dropping Ayton, I have no issues with that, but that's a that's an Ayton thing. You got Dyson for CP3 and iHeart for Tyus. Yeah, well, look, then you didn't make a mistake. Hallie Butler sounds preposterous, yes, but Sacramento did trade Hallie for Sabonis. I don't know. Again, it's rumors, so believe what you will at this point, but we're still a few weeks out. And yes, Chad, it is me versus you in the Old Man Squad Dynasty League. I am aware of that. You are third. I am fifth. I have set my lineups. I have to run a workshop today at work, so I can't even check injury reports. I've just got to set my lineups in the next hour and then hope for the best. We will see. Yep, cool. Okay. Now, I was thinking of doing, I don't know if I will, but on a Sunday night, so when I do my Sunday post-game show, which is a Monday night for me, if I'm around, I did think about maybe doing a sort of a weekly breakdown of my leagues. So having a look at my teams, where I'm standing, the injuries, what moves I've made, transactions, that sort of thing. I don't know whether that'd be interesting to give people some, because I talk about a lot of these moves, streaming, picking up, trading, hypothetically, because I don't have a lot of those players. So I thought maybe it would be worthwhile me actually using real life examples of what I'm doing in my leagues. I'm adding these players. I've dropped this guy. I'm streaming this player. This is my punt. What works? What doesn't? So I might look at doing that. Well, it won't be next week because I'm away next week. But at some point, and maybe make that a regular thing through the season. We'll see. Anyway, just another idea. All right, I'm going to go to work. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I will be back. I will be here for a post-game show this afternoon. Please go and download. Please like and subscribe. Do all of that stuff. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pregame show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.